You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Now, hello, it is Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and this is Mainstream Metaphysics on LA Talk Radio. I am Nick Newmont.
And I'm Audrey Newmont.
And we are here like clockwork every Tuesday night, and it's like how fast the weeks go by. I mean, the fascinating thing is that as we look at, we're in the month of March, we have a year where COVID, we're almost a year of dealing with COVID. And I think that's one of the things that we want to focus on tonight is people's mental well-being, you know, in a time like this, and how to be. You know, it was very timely that over the past 8 weeks, we completed the Monday night course called Healthy Mind, Healthy Body. And the appreciation of the people that attended it, and for all our guests that we had, Eloise, Dr. Michael, Dr. Kristen, Dr. Kimberly, you know, and everyone that was in, you know, on that. And also, you know, for you, Audrey, how you upgraded, you know, the PowerPoint and all that.
So when we do these things, there's all this information, and because we don't want to make it boring, there's all these pictures and things that I add to the PowerPoint. So each week is a whole different theme. It's a whole different kind of party that we create to share information about how to keep yourself healthy and happy.
Right, exactly. And both are important. By the way, Kirby says we both look great tonight. So thanks, Kirby.
Thank you, Kirby. This is called my, I've been running around all day. I haven't literally stopped all day.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you go through the veil of anyone that's in media and you see, you know, we see it, whether even when you're watching network television or local news, you see what you see, you know, what they present. And, you know, Tuesday is an interesting day as we do the show, because it's a day that I don't normally work in the office. So I'm running around, I'm doing all kinds of stuff.
Being the coach.
Yep. Coaching. Yep. And that's something I really hope. And you talk about mental well-being. I certainly hope for all high school kids, all college kids that are in spring sports, that there are seasons that they're able to play. That's really important on so many levels.
Yeah.
Mentally, physically, all of that, this past year of shutdown.
Well, they're going back on the 8th.
Yes.
They're finally going back to school. Yay! Girls, you're going back to school.
Yes. If you haven't noticed, we're broadcasting from home tonight, not the office. So
we wanted to change a venue. And tonight we're going to be a little bit more the Newmonts as therapist and as just parents and as a couple.
Right.
We're just going to be a little more raw and authentic with you tonight. And we are taking questions. So if anybody would like to ask us anything, you can ask.
Yeah, type in.
Whether it's a question about therapy, whether it's a question about us, how our lives run, or just anything. We're open books tonight. And it's tonight only. We're never going to do this again.
That's funny. That's it. This is your chance. You know, as we come out of, you know, I'm not sitting here with printed paperwork on, you know, astrological stuff. You know, we are really winging it tonight. But I do want to remind everyone that, you know, we still have a little bit of time left of the shadow following period of Mercury retrograde. And people are still pointing out this isn't quite right, or that isn't point, you know, that isn't. And even today I had a circumstance with someone where it was a past situation that was still being misconstrued. And the funny thing is, remember this about Mercury retrograde, whether you view it as challenging or good, whatever happens in your personal life, that past issues, or you hear from people from your past in Mercury retrograde. But it also gives you the opportunity to put things to rest when Mercury in this time, if something is unresolved, you can't get closure on it. So are electronic things still being challenged? Yes. And I will say this again, that even though Mercury is direct, it is still at this point for another week or so in the sign of Aquarius before it goes into Pisces. So you know, just don't assume anything electronically. And of course, we bought new lighting for home studio today. We'll see how this goes.
Ring lights. Woo! So getting far, fancy. So
and also the other thing on a more therapeutic level, you know, with Mercury in Aquarius, it makes people more wired. It makes their thoughts crazier. And, you know, as we look back on this past year, where one, people didn't know how to react to COVID. No one was really sure what it was. There were things that were being levied out by the government. And so governmental figures had never dealt with this before. So it was a lot of what do we do with it? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of playing it safe to put people in quarantine. People felt somewhat repressed, subdued, imprisoned mm-hmm. at first, as if government was being too harsh. So there were all these things that were going on simultaneously. And for those of us in the mental and physical health world, we had to be the constant for people and yep. just own who we are. And the funny thing is, and of course there are, as we know, there are different types of businesses that suffered a lot more. We were fortunate that because we are a mental health institution, we were considered an essential business. You know, yeah. So we remained all this time. And the difference for myself, and I'm just speaking for me, not even Audrey, I never got into mode of fear that so many people got into. I always knew it was going to be okay. We were going to be okay. We were going to be fine. And it had to be damn the torpedoes full speed ahead. Mm-hmm. That it just had to be. And I did see people, you know, in the fold that were losing it, and people of, let's just say, some form of alternative practitioner that didn't hold that, you know, especially in the, like the March, April, May time, you know, witnessing, and people react as they react. And when a person, you know, presents themselves as some form of a spiritual practitioner, you have to own your truth. And everybody is prone to some kind of fear on some level. People get intimidated by different things.
Right.
But I watch people sort of fall apart at times.
And that's okay. You know, when we fall apart, then we can put ourselves back together in a way that is much more intentional and much more whole.
And
it's all right to fall apart.
Right. It just is. Because everyone reacts differently. Everybody's got different personal circumstances. And I was very proud to say for us, and still maintaining, taking care of our daughters and everything, we've just been there, you know?
Yes.
You know, people ask me, how are you? And then I say the same thing almost every day. It's like busy, you know, and happy to be busy. But we have been busy. And, you know, on the end of the work that I do, hypnotherapy and the alternative energy healing that I do and the psychic predictions and the house blessings. I mean, it has been.
And the coaching.
And coaching. Well, coaching was here and there. You know, we there were times we weren't. But in terms of the work that we do, that is the part that just has gone and gone and gone. And then one of the things that I've noticed with people, that especially newer clients that have come in where they were working on their problems, I've seen people really buy into their growth. And instead of saying, okay, I'm good enough, I'm calm, I've watched people take their spiritual self in this time and just begin to soar.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we over the past year have been given sort of a timeout, and I mean that timeout in a really good way, is take a step back and review and look at life and what is, what are your intrinsic values? What is necessary? What is essential? And then sort of retrench a little bit and then move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your perspective on this past year? I mean, we like go, 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 go.
I feel like there's something crawling. Now you feel like there's like a ant or something. Is there?
No.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So I'm back here now. You know, for me in this past year, it's been a lot. You know, I'm the mom. So when there's things that are going on with the girls, there is this part of it where, you know, I'm dealing with that aspect of things. We've had things with our animals during this time. I mean, we're a family as well. So
Sure. There's
a part of it where he works more with clients than I do. I'm sometimes more in the background doing various things that we have to do on the back end, you know, the webs and those kind of things. Right. So that's my job sometimes. So there's this aspect of it for me personally. It's been, I think for me, one of the biggest parts of it is when this first happened, there was this moment where it's like something's not adding up. And in the way that I've been dealing with it, I've been looking at a lot of different information. I've been looking at a whole bunch of different sources of news. And for me, there's been a big part of it. It's like something just hasn't felt right. So I've been like my own private investigative journalist. So I don't talk about it with everybody, but I want to be informed. I want to know what's going on. And so I look at various scientists. I just look at a whole bunch of different things because I want to be clear, because I'm going to say, for me personally, it just didn't feel right. So in all of that, that's been one of the aspects of things that I've done. And then for me personally as well, it's been still a process of owning my health. So I've been, when I have those moments, spending a lot of time like at the beach or on my long walks and different things like that I do. But the interesting thing is with clients, I'm seeing that they are coming in, and where it used to be like these kind of problems, it's like now people are reaching a threshold where they're like, I just can't be in this body like this anymore. And one of the things that I'm noticing as a therapist is the amount of people that we're having come to us that have spent a lifetime, and I mean that quite literally, a lifetime suppressing their emotions and doing what I call the spiritual bypass, or,
right. You
know, just literally holding it all down when they're unhappy about something, when they're anxious, when they're worried. And because of the insane amount that we're all experiencing, it's like their trunk is full. And so Right. When they show up with us, there's a part of it, it's like, this is no longer bearable. So when they're coming to see us, one of the things that I do is I use the different tools that I've put together and the sort of the game analogy, the game format. And one of the biggest parts of it is owning your feelings. It's as an example, there's been quite a few people lately that are experiencing a tremendous amount of grief. And my client just recently said, I've never learned how to be in this, and it's unbearable. And one of their closest friends passed away, and it was just this overwhelming thing that she had no idea of how to deal with. So then comes me, and I know you do this as well, and we are teaching people how to be in grief and how to own those feelings in a way that is more constructive and, you know, being kind with ourselves, being patient in that, and allowing the grief process to happen. And I don't know if you want to speak to that at all, but I mean, it's very big because there is the people that are dying from COVID that's unexpected, but then there's also when you're overloaded with the emotions anyway, and then somebody does get COVID and you get worried about them, you get whatever. And then if somebody actually does pass from it, it's like this overwhelming amount of feelings that we have as a society not been trained to deal with. And I had my friend Becca on a couple months ago, I guess, and we were talking about death. We were talking about, you know, the whole process of it and the grieving. And in our society, it's been where, heaven forbid, somebody should die. I mean, we keep a body alive, even if the brain is dead. So as a society, we haven't been kind of geared towards how to be with that whole process. So when now we're kind of faced with it, it is a process, and that's what we're finding people coming to us looking for. How do I do this?
You know, when it comes to grief, and this came up in a session the other day, but it's been in many. First of all, one thing that when we've been talking about body syndromes over the past 8 weeks, you know, when people internalize their grief too much, it shows up in the body as fibromyalgia, which is very painful. So it's important to let go of grief, but also, just as people house different emotions, or let me say it better like this, when a person is in the womb, okay, and they talk about the damage that's done if the mother smoked or drank at the inappropriate time, what that can do, you know, to the fetus and eventually the baby. But the other thing is, what's going on with the mother emotionally when she's pregnant? And I've faced this over the last few months. And when I worked on her, I said, do you know that you have your mother's grief? And I went into, and she goes, yes, she knew exactly what that was.
And interestingly enough, when you come in with certain emotions,
right,
people think that this is just what life is. It's just what's normal. So when you have experiences between 0 and 8 that are traumatic, that are hard, like I've been working with some clients just recently who have had super traumatic childhood, and it gets to a point where they think that this is just life and this is just what normal is. And then they start getting around other people and they say, well, wait a minute, you know, other people are experiencing life and they seem to be happier. They seem to be more grounded, more successful or whatever. And then they have to step back with themselves and literally address their, what we call homeostasis, what we consider normal. And then there's this part of it. It's like, oh, this is not normal. It's not what everybody else seems to be experiencing. And then that door is open, and it's a process to go through it and unpack all of the whatever we grew up with as normal, and right, and get to a point what the adult us wants to do. Did all that make sense?
Yeah, completely.
What's Kirby asking over there?
He's asking about his daughter. Isn't that something you'll have to address with
privately? Is it a question?
Oh, it's a...
Because we said we're taking questions.
Yeah, but it's still...
Not a question for now?
No, it has to do with you... it has to do with you talking to his daughter privately. Okay.
And then he's asking if there's vodka in the glass. No.
Yes, and a lot of the work that we do, no pun intended, is very sobering, you know, because we're dealing with, you know, extremely real problems. And then another client, and this is another one of those cases, and we have got to get to a point in this society, if a woman is mistreated or molested or raped, one, she has to have the confidence to come forward and talk about that. And we're talking about when girls are young. Mm-hmm. And also families, parents have to be much more educated as to the frequency of these events and be much more aware, because this is another case where this girl was molested by a male relative. And the client now is 51 years old. This happened when she was 7, never told family, and actually said, I said, why didn't you ever tell kind of stuff? And I said, he's a pedophile. He's a pedophile. And I said, why don't you, because she's got physical pain in her body and all these manifestations. I said, this is part of it. What you've got going on in your body. You've
right.
housed this, you know, for 40 some years. And she said, oh, it would just kill my mother. All right. Well, it's not going to kill her mother.
And you know what? That's a common story, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
And all of the years that I've been doing this is something that I've had to work with with many clients, unfortunately. And there's a part of it where you don't actually have to say anything to the person. There's a part of it you can just process it on your own. So it doesn't need to be where you have to stir up that can of worms. You have to think you're going to kill somebody or whatever. But it's definitely that we have to, in our adult self, work through the trauma of it.
Right.
And it doesn't have to look all that more traumatic. I think sometimes people think that when you're working through it, it's like you're going to re-experience it or something. And it's not about that. It's almost like you're the parent and you're comforting and nurturing and having this conversation with that little girl or little boy part of you that had the molestation happen. So it's truly a process and it's individual for each and every client. Like I can't say in all the clients that I've worked with that I've used this approach with every one. It's that every single one has had their own unique approach that's individual for the person. And it's at a time where because we have so much societal trauma that we're all experiencing, right, that it gets to the point where it's an overload. And I'm just going to say the other obvious thing. There's a lot of people that are really not feeling comfortable to be on the planet. And I've been working with some clients who are saying, I just don't want to be here anymore. And that's a whole nother story that is going on. And I think that it, because it's uncomfortable, people don't want to address it. And mm-hmm. when you do address it, like I just addressed it very recently with someone, and fortunately, we were able to come to a place where they're able to want to be here and want to do what it takes to be here. So for those of you that are out there that are feeling like it's a bit of an overwhelm right now, be clear that this is not a forever thing.
Right.
What we're experiencing as a collective is very much coming to a close. And we're going to be starting a whole new adventure, all of us. So for anybody out there that's thinking that it's an overwhelm, that it's too much, take a breath. And there are various things that you can do to get back into alignment and get back into, you know, being with yourself here and being happy and being fulfilled in this life.
You know, and one thing too is we were talking about the crown chakra last night, which is connected to the pituitary gland. You know, the crown chakra is our connection to spirit. And one of the key things for, believe it or not, restoring pituitary gland, say, malfunctions is meditation. Meditation is really important.
Right.
And, you know, when the crown chakra is off, not working right, and people somehow detach, all right, or detach from the higher self or detach from spirit, what that causes in a person is to feel somewhat hopeless.
Right.
And assume the worst. And we have hit this moment right now where, yes, I think we have bombed out, so to speak, and we're starting the move back up.
So I want to address Carla, the man of my dreams passed away in December. My tears could fill an ocean. I still love life. My heart just hurts. You know what? Kudos for the tears. Kudos to let them out. Kudos to be present with your grief. And I'm so glad that you do still love life. And to be clear, the love of your life, you are the love of your life. And you honor him by letting that grief happen. You honor him by being present with yourself. And you also honor him as you work through the grief to live life fully. And we have to all be very, very clear. There's a little part of us here, and there's a lot of us here. We're energetic beings. So there's a part to you that is still with him, that will always be with him. And there is that part where you honor that connection and really celebrate what you have had and know that it is an eternal thing. It's not ended. So kudos for being with yourself in the grief. It's a process. And this was in December. So, you know, my heart goes out to you. It is a super challenging,
you know, when
experience.
When people lose a loved one that's very close to them, whether a spouse or a parent, you know, and we had a situation with someone close to us recently where a parent passed away, and everybody grieves differently, but we still have to stay grounded and centered within ourselves. And recently, as this passing was very fresh, in the one of the surviving children, grown adult, in not being grounded and being, as we say, sort of out of one's body, this person wasn't really paying attention to what he was doing and fell and injured himself significantly. And when I heard about this, I said, you know, sometimes when we lose a loved one, we seem to sort of go out of our body as if we want to chase them,
right?
You know, and be with them or try to pull them back in. And that just, you know, unfortunately, that just doesn't work. You know, people are emotionally stricken when they lose someone, but we still have to be who we are. You know, we do go on after we've lost someone.
And we honor them by going on and living life fully. I like what Ronan said here, as long as you speak my name, I shall live forever. That's beautiful, Ronan. Thank you. You know, it's a hard topic to discuss. And it would be really great as if when we are little, we're taught what this all looks like. And we're taught not to fear death, but to understand it. You know, it's not an ending. It's like, you know, I love that car analogy, right? So this is just the car. It's just that thing that gets us around. It gives us the ability to live in love, to live in laughter, you know, to be with each other and have this ability to feel each other, the ability to kiss, the ability to be present with each other. And when we hit that point of being done, it's like we're leaving the car. We're getting out of the car because we have somewhere else that we need to go. Mm-hmm. And I said this the last time that we talked about this subject, but I think it's super important. The belief systems that we take on about it, it's very fear-based. It's very scary. You know, I remember as a kid being terrified that that was going to happen to me. I was going to die someday. And I'd be so scared. I'd have to go and climb into my brother's bed just to be next to a warm body. I was just terrified. So it's super important to get that it's a part of life. So it's nothing to be afraid of. It's something to celebrate. And yes, for those of us that are still here, there is that part of grieving. We don't see them anymore. In fact, to be clear, I've got a dog right now that we're going to have to say goodbye to very soon. Mm-hmm. And I had to call and get some information on what to do. And I called. And this woman, she was so sweet on the phone. I started to talk and I just started sobbing. You know, this has been my buddy for like 16 years. So there's a part of me that's already in grief. And there's a part of me that's like, oh, I don't want to let go. You know, I love her. And there's a part of me that's like, could you just do it yourself? You know, And I'm willing her to just let go because I don't want to make that choice. I don't want to make that decision. I want it to be much more natural, but I don't know that it's going to look like that. So, you know, there's these hard moments that we have to deal with in life and process through them and get back to happy. My dog would want me to be happy. You know, it's that's the way it is. But we gotta make these choices.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are times that Merlin has actually spoken about transition and what the other side is like.
What did Merlin say?
Well, that the other side is just blissful. That there isn't anything really. It's just you're in this state where there's nothing to do, nothing to worry about, you know, and everything is all the physical strains, health, all that is just released.
Well, remember the story of my mother. Yeah, my mother was dying, and I was telling her, Mom, it's okay, because she was terrified. Where do you think I got it then? So she's terrified, and I had already studied death at that point at Agape. And I was telling my mom, you know, it's okay. When you move on, it's going to be beautiful. And I painted this whole picture for her. And I never told Nick. So if for those of you that don't know, he is a medium. He's a channel. He's all these things. So the day that she died, she came to him, of all things, in the shower. He's taking a shower.
Let me explain something first of all. I meditate in the shower. That's when I have my best meditation, okay? Everybody meditates differently, and I do meditate before I go to sleep. But the shower is where I meditate. So in other words, the satellite dish is turned on at that point, and I'm an open and accessible antenna and vehicle, okay?
So what did she say to you?
You look great. No. No, she had her raspy voice, you know, and it was very short and sweet what she said. And I didn't know what she meant. She just said, tell Odd she's right.
And I had not told Nick that I had painted that picture for her, that I had said all of those things that would happen for her when she went on to the other side. So when he called me, it was on the day that she passed, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And he called me and he's like, your mother said, tell Odd she was right. And he didn't know what it was about. So, of course, my waterworks happened. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, she's on the other side. And it's a beautiful experience for her. So it's important for us to really be clear that it's not something to be afraid of. It's something to celebrate. You're going on to the next expression of your soul. And it's a beautiful thing. So any questions over there? Carla, if I can add anything, I lost my guide. Oh.
You know, recently when we did the Focus on Success class and we're representing it, you know, I saw where people were struggling with some of the components that we presented. Not because they didn't understand it, because they had to still work through it. And so I gave these individuals at a very reasonable price, 3 sessions of hypnosis. And one of the things in those sessions, and everybody got the same free from me. And one of the sessions is desensitization, which is helping people turn off the negative voices. And that does come from our own self and from our conditioning. And that's a little quirky because even though we talk about in there negative voice, all right, but we are conditioned to think positively or negatively about ourselves too, even though there's outside criticism, inside criticism. But the third and final session for everybody is inner child work. And there's a specific way in hypnosis that I do inner child work. And it was fascinating. And I had people after the session share a few, like, what did you see? Who did you see? Especially like, what age was it? You know, and that kind of stuff. And everybody goes to a time of their life, an inner child, that's extremely pertinent as to something that happened at that time, especially something that was very challenging. Mm-hmm. And so inner child work, you know, with hypnosis is really profound and really powerful. And extremely cleansing.
Yeah. So we do, I do a fair amount of inner child work as well, but I'm not using it as much with hypnosis until they do a good portion of the process themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I just had a client today that had quite a fair amount of inner trauma as a child. And it was interesting because in looking at the timeline, you know, we all have a timeline of things in our life. And there is something that happened that was traumatic. So there's a part to it where you, the adult, get to parent your inner child, that part of you. Like for me, when I realized I'm not stupid, you know, I'm literally letting little Audrey know you're actually intelligent and you're valuable and all of these things. So it's an interesting thing, however you do inner child work, whether you have somebody guide you in it or you're doing it yourself, you, the adult, get to tell that ego, you know, that little voice that is the fear-based person, you know, right. You don't need to be having that experience anymore. This is who we are now, and this is what we are intending to create for our life. So you're literally telling that little voice in your head, yeah, you're saying the wrong thing at this point. It served you for a purpose as long as it did, but now I'm in charge. I'm driving the car.
There's another form of inner child work that's connected to a more sophisticated process called circle therapy and hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And it's a combination of doing inner child and reconditioning or rebooting. But what's fascinating about this, and I learned this, you know, way back when at HMI from John Kappas, of how to do this. And so you put the person in hypnosis and you take them back to, you know, where they grew up, and you say, remember when this happened, see you interacting with your mother and father. And what I do is I take turns, and the adult is there seeing, you know, themselves, maybe siblings too, mm-hmm. mother and father. And I say silently to yourself, you're going to have a conversation with little whoever. But at the same time, I say, freeze your mother, freeze your father, and talk to that one. And then it goes around. Now, you know, freeze little whoever, unthaw your mother, now talk to her. And that ends up the same thing with the father. And so it's reconditioning the child and the parents at the same time. And that's where you do work on the inner parent mm-hmm. too. And so you get all these perspectives changing, and it is so cathartic. And I remember a client years ago that I did this with. And when she came out of hypnosis, she said, I've spent so many years in therapy working, you know, with this, with my mother. And she goes, I have never felt so much better than compared to that session of hypnosis and what I did with her. Right. And she had spent like 12 years in therapy, spinning her wheels, you know, and her mother was still alive. They did not have a good relationship, and that shifted completely. So, you know, when people do get up in their heads and they take on belief systems with hypnotherapy, you know, we really and truly, you know, can help change the behavior. And by the way, we, as hypnotherapists, what we are, we're not psychologists, we're not psychotherapists, we're behavioralists. You know, and the idea is to shift the behavior or rewrite the subconscious script that was originally written by the parents so that you are behaving according to you in a productive way.
Right.
Not to be rebellious or disruptive or destructive. So it's your behavior serves you and everyone.
We're also like your private investigators. When people are talking, well, like I had a client today and I'm just like asking questions, I'm looking at things, and then I re-put it back to them in a way where it's like, I showed them, this is what you said, and here's where it shows up in your behavior now, and this is why you do what you do. And it was like, literally, they were like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And then it's like, and here's how you now own the new behavior. And I think that's a big part of it. So two things. One, Angie, we do work via Skype or Zoom or right. whatever. We definitely see people all over the place. So that is absolutely, we do fairly often, especially now with how it's been with COVID. And Carla, you know, yes, you can't help but grieve. That is part of life, and you let it out. You be in the process of grieving. But you definitely look at the balance of your life, and you don't spend all the time grieving. You honor him and you honor yourself by reaching out to friends and going and doing those things that have made you happy. You know, maybe you find some new things to do. Maybe in grieving, you go to the beach and you do a process for him there of releasing and letting go. You know, reach out to anybody that makes sense to you to just be with you in the process. And it truly is a process.
Right.
And my heart goes out to you. I understand.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we'll send you a wave of love.
And to everyone out there who's going through a moment, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when we send out waves of love like that, that is a broadcast. That is when you're in a place of love in your heart, you're sending that out. It doesn't just go from the person to that person. Everybody feels that. You know, your heart broadcasts, and it's a very wide beam. When your heart opens up, it just goes at a very wide angle.
Yeah.
And, you know, covers a lot of territory.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right, Angie. We don't suppress the grief. It's you're allowing it and you're being with it. But it's important to also, you know, make those choices to move on with life as well and find a balance with everything. You know, sometimes I've seen it before. You know, Nick and I have worked in rehab, and actually I was telling somebody who is in serious, like, fresh grief just first thing this morning. When Nick and I work in rehabs, a lot of times people are there because they self-medicate, because there's so much pain that they're experiencing in life, they want to numb it. So I was explaining to her that I had this situation when I was at one of the rehabs where somebody had committed suicide. And it was somebody that I think everybody just really loved. I mean, she was just a really unique person. And I was the one that led the group afterwards. And so many of these people that were in the group, I mean, they were hardened. Their hearts had like ice around it. And in our mutual grief, it was, I think, a moment for many of them where it was like one of the first times that they allowed themselves to experiencing that kind of a pain and working through the process of letting it go. And it was really a unique experience for them. So it's important to be with it and allow it and let it go. And I think that's a part of it that's super important to really understand. I think sometimes we take on a belief, well, if I hold on to this feeling in my heart, this grief, that means I'm holding on to them in some way. And I think that's not exactly how grief is intended. It's more that you want to experiencing the grief and letting it go and remembering those great moments. Like for this person that I worked with this morning, it was super traumatic on a level because I'm not going to go into the details of it. So in our conversation, I was asking her about the person and who she was and what she loved about her. And, you know, kind of directing her back to seeing her in her vibrancy rather than as she last saw her, you know. So it's important to look at all the aspects of this and be with it.
Truly.
Right?
Yep, absolutely. And over on my phone, I just want to say thank you to Julie and Kirby for your comments. I appreciate that.
And thank you for your support, guys. We really appreciate y'all being here.
Definitely. Also, before we do run out of time, there's 5 minutes left. Reminder that on Monday, March 15th at 7 o'clock, we are doing a meditation.
Good job, Carla.
And if you're interested, and that is Zoom or live, and Zoom, there's plenty of room available. Get in touch.
Unlimited.
That's right. Yeah, get in touch with us, and you can call the center at 818-865-8770. I'm at nnewmont@gmail.com. Audrey's at anewmont@gmail.com. Ways to get in touch with us. Oh, and also, if you want to get Audrey directly, you can get her at 818-665-6165. This coming Saturday is the re-presentation of the Focus on Success class. We do have a couple chairs left open, not on Zoom because there's material that had to be sent out to those who were not in the immediate area, and it's too late to do that. But there is physical space left if you are interested in that. It's a fabulous class. And on top of it, it's a very feel-good kind of class.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Speaking of which, next week we're going to be in a more feel-good mode. You know, we've been having a lot with clients lately, so we really wanted to address some of the heaviness that's going on and offer some solutions for it. So next week, we're going to have something fun. I don't know what yet, but we're going to make it fun.
One thing, and this is a Merlin item. You know, spirits don't judge, okay? They have no connection to human emotion, even if they were human, are now in non-physical form. But they also see the objectivity in everything. And so this has come up, you know, in people dealing with or wanting to have a session with Merlin. Merlin tells it like it is. If you have a session with Golden Arrow, with Alexandra, Golden Arrow tells it as it is. With Esther Hicks and Abraham, all those spirits, they tell it as it is. And if you're not ready to hear it exactly as it is, then it's not a good idea to have a session, you know, with a spirit like that. Now, if you...
You can go to Audrey and she'll tell it how it is.
Yes. But if you're in a place where you're looking for guidance and you're ready to hear whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent, then you do one of those things because it can be very enlightening.
Yeah. And do you do those via Zoom too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. People just have to monitor the time because Merlin doesn't wear a watch and can't tell time.
People not monitor the time. It's like 45 minutes later.
Yeah. Well,
that's funny.
It is funny.
There's also Sunday mornings at 10 our time, I have a women's group that I Zoom and people are in person as well. So that can be for anywhere and it's women only. Sorry, guys. So that's every Sunday.
Right. And also,
or most Sundays.
And you have to put on the calendar. You're talking about the timeline workshop.
We are going to be doing a timeline workshop that is in-house only. And that's going to be a very powerful one. So that's coming up in the next few weeks as well.
Right.
It'll be on a Saturday, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that are ready to sign up for that already.
Yeah. That'll be like one of those life changing days. When we do that, sometimes people get like a physical, like I've had people say, oh my gosh, I feel like this huge weight has just come off of my chest. So that one is really profound and it's a good processing day in a good way. It's not real heavy. You know, we definitely add an element of a lightness and fun into these things.
Definitely.
I don't like for it to be all so heavy all the time.
and we feed you.
Yes. Good food.
Exactly.
So, Nick, it's 7:50.
I guess
we're going to say goodbye. Fly. Yeah.
Well, we spent a lot of time talking.
Yeah.
And after this, we're going to step aside and have dinner.
Dinner.
Yes, we're looking forward to it. Thank you so much, everyone. It's a little bit of an intense topic, but we felt that we need to talk about this tonight.
Yeah.
And we are here for you. Everybody knows that. Have the courage to reach out. We will be back next week. We don't know who our guest is going to be yet.
But we're going to make it fun.
We are going to make it
promise.
Fun.
We're going to be having a very lighthearted.
And you never know, Merlin could be back.
Oh.
You never know. Anyway, thanks so much for watching. This is Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm Nick Newmont.
Audrey Newmont.
And we have fun with all of you. And yes, as Kirby wrote, Nooner. That's,
yeah. Angie's all about Merlin.
Yes.
We'll see if we can get him to come next week.
Yep.
Who knows what'll be going on next week? I think there's going to be some big things happening.
Oh, there's a lot. I sense a lot that to happen. Yeah. Strap in. A lot is coming. I sense that. And
maybe we'll have Milena on the show next week.
No. Anyway, folks, we've got to go. Remember, take care of yourself and take care of each other.
Share with your friends.
Absolutely. And we will see you. And thank you, Kirby, again. We will see you next week right back here. Mainstream Metaphysics on LA Talk Radio.
Yes.
And thank you, Ronan, as always.
Thanks, Ronan.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.